not pass go. Do not collect $200. Go directly to Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry. Hey, everybody. Welcome to this here podcast brought to you by EEJournal.com and hosted by me, Amelia Dalton. So in this week's Fish Fry, we're following that microcontroller yellow brick road to a land where analog reign supreme. Dave Smith from Texas Instruments joins us to discuss the details of their smart analog combo included in the MSP430 MCU family, the benefits of the configurable signal chain elements inherent in this solution, and why the FRAM memory found in this new family sets it apart from other solutions. All right, without further ado, let's get started. Hey, Dave, thank you so much for joining me.
Hi, thanks for having me, Amelia.
Okay, so you guys just launched a new line of microcontrollers called MSP430s. Now, I was intrigued by the configurability and the scalability associated with this new line. So first off, tell me about the flexibility story here.
Okay, well, these new MSP430s feature a new analog peripheral. This peripheral we call the Smart Analog Combo. And this is really where the flexibility of this device comes in. It allows the user to determine how they want to use these configurable signal chain elements to best fit with their application. So these devices contain four of these Smart Analog Combos. Each one of those could be used as, say, maybe a 12-bit DAC, an operational amplifier, or a programmable gain amplifier. And it's really down to the end user to pick which one of those options they really want to use, what best fits with their application. So this is the most configurable analog microcontroller that we've released to date.
So Dave, tell me about the second part, the scalability here.
Right, so scalability. These devices, these new MSP430 parts, they fit within a broader range of MSP430 microcontrollers. Altogether, there's probably almost 500 orderable part numbers within the MSP430 family. These new devices really extend one of our FRAM memory technology portfolios, the Value Line series, up to 32 kilobytes. It takes the temperature range to 105 degrees, and it brings in this new Smart Analog Combo peripheral. So it fits into an existing family, but it really kind of fills a gap in that scalability message from half a kilobyte to 512 kilobytes. It fits a space in the middle there, this 16 to 32 kilobyte memory space. So a very popular memory size for embedded microcontrollers.
Okay, Dave, so what does this MCU offer me as an engineer that, say, another solution would not?
Okay, so there's a couple of things that I'd like to highlight there. The first one, I already mentioned this Smart Analog Combo. So we're packing a lot of analog and a lot of configurability into this device. The Smart Analog Combo, the 12-bit 200 kilosample ADC, two enhanced comparators. These are features that you typically find in a higher-end product. These are relatively lower-cost microcontrollers, smaller memory, smaller pin count. So that's really one of the features or one of the really important things that I think this family brings. The other thing is the FRAM technology, the memory. So FRAM is a ferroelectric random access memory. And this is non-volatile memory that brings some real nice benefits to the end user compared to a conventional non-volatile such as flash. A couple of the really key features are it's a very low power memory, so there's no internal charge pump for reprogramming like you'd find in an E2 or a flash memory. There's a lot of flexibility for the user in terms of dividing that 32 kilobytes. The 32 kilobytes of FRAM can be used as either program or data. So in a conventional microcontroller, you'd have flash and RAM. Here you have the FRAM, and you can determine as the user how much of that is for your program and how much is for data. So there are a couple of the really nice differentiated features of these parts that really set them aside from anything else on the market.
So Dave, what kind of target markets are you looking at here?
These devices really can find many, many applications because of the flexibility. But a couple of areas that we have seen interest and we're already working with customers is in smoke detectors. So the device has some nice features basically around this analog flexibility that makes it very applicable for photodiode sensing applications or applications where you need to drive precision levels of voltage out of a DAC. So smoke detectors is definitely one area that we've seen interest. Circuit breakers is another one, so some of the smarter circuit breakers. Some factory automation type applications as well in 4 to 20 milliamp loops for the factory monitoring spaces. Sensor signal conditioning, again, most of these applications are really focused around connecting something analog, an analog sensor or some sort of analog output device to the microcontroller.
So, Dave, I read that you can get started with this new MSP430 line with a dev kit that costs $12.99. Did I read that right?
Absolutely, Amelia. So the MSP430 devices, along with several other products from Texas Instruments, are supported by what we call launch pads. And the launch pad development kit is essentially a hardware board that includes pretty much everything that somebody does need to get up and running. So there's an embedded debug interface, an emulator, if you like, already built into that board. So you take this thing out of the box, you take the USB cable that comes in the box, plug it into the launch pad, you plug the other end into the computer that you're going to use, and you can be up and running. That's all the hardware that you need to start development. Along with that, the software tools, many of those, especially from TI, are cost-free. So you can really get up and running on these devices for that $12.99 price out of the box.
That's really cool. Okay, Dave, it's time for your off-the-cuff question now. On a personal note, this strikes a chord with me because I love big cats, but you told me that you spend your weekends at a big cat sanctuary. So, Dave, how did you get involved with lions and tigers and cheetahs?
Yeah, so I volunteer at a place in Wiley, Texas called InSync Exotics, and they are a big cat rescue center, and I went along there as a visitor last year, and I'd never thought about working with big cats. I have small cats at home, and I just got talking to somebody at one of their events and found out, you know, most of this place, many other sanctuaries around the country are really funded by volunteer time and by, you know, contributions. And it just seemed a really great way to get involved with something to help out the animals and help out the local community as well.
That is super cool. Well, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me, Dave.
Thanks a lot, Amelia. It was really good to talk to you.
And if you want further information about TI's new MSP430 family, I would strongly encourage you to check out Jim Turley's feature article on EE Journal entitled MCUs for the Indecisive. TI's microcontroller family has a bit of everything. And for your clicking convenience, I've included a direct link to this article on this week's Fish Fryin' page on eejournal.com. So here on Fish Fry, we have talked a lot about nanotechnology. We've talked about nanowires, nanodots, even nanodrones, but we have yet to talk about nanobubbles. Until today. So, researchers at the Center for Nanoscale Biophotonics, or CNBP, have developed a way to deliver chemotherapy for cancer treatment with drugs wrapped in, wait for it, nanobubbles. Cool, right? So these nanobubbles are actually called liposomes, which is nowhere near as cool to say. So, these nanobubbles are first injected into the desired part of the body, But they do nothing until X-ray radiation is applied to that same area. And then bam, the bubbles pop and release the chemotherapy drugs into the bloodstream. Now, nanobubbles have been used in the past. In insulin treatment, they have also been used to fight bacterial infections without the use of antibiotics. But with both of those applications, there are some issues with the timing of how these drugs are released into the bloodstream. CNBP is looking to combat these timing issues by creating these new nanobubbles to pop or collapse on demand by embedding molecules called vertiporfin and gold nanoparticles into the walls of these bubbles. So, when X-ray radiation is applied to the area of the body in question, these molecules react by giving off a singlet of oxygen that bursts the bubble. The gold nanoparticles are then used to increase that chemical reaction. So far, these cancer-busting nanobubbles have only been used in mice. But this team from CNBP say that they plan on developing these liposomes for human clinical trials soon. If you want to check out more information about these super cool nanobubbles, I've included a link to a white paper at the bottom of this week's Fish Frying page called Controlled Gene and Drug Release from Liposomal Delivery Platform Triggered by X-ray Radiation. Keeping with our little things theme this week, have you tried finding the right capacitor lately? Yeah, it can be a pain. If it's true for many of you, like me, you don't have time to research the best capacitor for your next application. And yes, this can result in increased cost, reduced performance, and reduced reliability. In a recent episode of Chalk Talk entitled K-SIM Capacitors, I sit down with Wilmer Campioni of Chemit, and we chat all about K-SIM, a handy new tool that will help you choose the right capacitor for your next design. And you can check out this episode of Chalk Talk by heading on over to the Chalk Talk section of eejournal.com. Don't worry, you can't miss it. It's right across the top. Or click the link below the player on this week's Fish Frying page on eejournal.com. Or lastly, you can head on over to YouTube. Keyword, EE Journal. Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should! You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And if LinkedIn is more your thing, well, sure, you can follow us on LinkedIn as well. And we have that YouTube channel I mentioned earlier, keyword EEJournal. Folks, it is chock full of all kinds of super cool techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series. And you can subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. I'm just saying. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page, you can check out the Fish Fry archive or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Frying page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, or even the best geeky hotspot in your city, I love that stuff. Shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of July 20th, 2018, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.